Run, Thomas, Run is the debut novel from Wellington-based Kate Carty. Kate has travelled widely and has had many years' experience with the Iraqi and Assyrian communities, both overseas and here. Kate, interesting group to write about. I knew nothing about them, but you have extensive knowledge of them, being married to one. Tell me a little bit about the Assyrian Iraqi community.
Well, there are several thousand in New Zealand, about 2,000 in Wellington, and another large group in Auckland with a smaller group in Christchurch. They are Christians, and devout Christians, and they mostly originate from Turkey. They were part of the exodus from Turkey along with the Armenians at the time of the Ottomans, you know, when there was the massacre of the Armenians. The Assyrians were also targeted in that, and they fled to nearby countries such as Syria, Iraq and Iran. So there was a small proportion of Assyrians in Iraq, for 100 years or so, probably up to about 5% of the population of Iraq were Christians, comprising largely Assyrians. That number has dwindled in the past couple of decades as they have left the country seeking a safer place to live, which is why many of them have ended up in New Zealand.
I guess we have become a little more aware of minority religious groups over the last decade, and certainly in the last year or so, because of the ISIS group in over there, who have been targeting various groups. But they have clearly had to flee for their lives over decades now, over centuries.
Absolutely. So my first encounter with Assyrians was in 1991, which was about 6 months after that Gulf War where Saddam invaded Kuwait. And when I met my husband, who I must add is now unfortunately my ex-husband because we separated last year, but when I met him in southern Turkey with his brother and sister in 1991. And at that point, I had no idea that Assyrians were still around. I thought that they were an ancient civilization that existed several thousand years ago. And I just was stunned to find out that over all these centuries and millennia, that they'd managed to survive in the Middle East, and survive as Christians in a largely Muslim region. So it was a real eye-opener for me in many ways to come across them all those years ago.
And clearly this has been what you've decided to write this novel about. The novel, you said, started as a comedy because the Assyrians have a great sense of humour.
Yeah, I wanted to humanise the Iraqi people, and in particular the people that I knew about, which were the Assyrians, because they do have a great sense of humour. They're very engaging and very hospitable people. And I wanted everyone to know about it. So I started writing this novel as a comedy. But it just wasn't working. It just wasn't appropriate to sort of try and do a carry-on Baghdad, about this minority group. So the writing group that I was working with at the time suggested that I try a more serious slant. And they were absolutely right. They put me on the right path. And I think I've ended up with a much more effective, readable novel that hopefully won't offend as many people as a comic take on the Assyrian community would have. So yeah, it's all the better for not being a comedy.
Yes, I can understand how it would be hard to maintain a comic look at what's going on over there.
I think it would have... the comedy was the sort of migration aspect of it, putting them in the new country with, you know, and trying to integrate and adapt, and just looking, taking a humorous take on that. But obviously I wouldn't have looked at, you know, what happened to them in Iraq in any sort of humorous form, because it's just not funny at all what's been going on there in the past couple of decades.
So we start with young Thomas in his in his village in northern Iraq. We then are introduced to Thomas as a young man with a family in Baghdad. And then we follow the family after Thomas has been subjected to real violence and the family's been pulled apart. Then we go to England with them to see how they adjust to life in modern Britain. And then you very cleverly take us back right at the end, join the circle, if you like, of back to Thomas and in his village, and give us a better understanding of what it is that's driven him over all these years. It must have been difficult to write about those trials and tribulations, the horror of living in Baghdad back in those times.
I think if you're going to do it, you have to do it as honestly as you possibly can. I did give the book to my former brother-in-law to read, who is obviously a Syrian, and he said it's felt authentic to him and he could see himself in the novel. However, he thinks that the Iraqi people suffered even more than I have indicated in the novel, but I guess I've had to keep it as palatable as I can. Or, you know, if you peppered it full of the atrocities that were going on, I don't think anyone would want to read it. So it was difficult at times dealing with the subject matter. But, you know, this was Iraq in the 1990s, where the first section is set, and, you know, Saddam was in charge. There were 12 levels of security forces, each spying on each other. People were living, ordinary people were living in fear all the time. There were, you know, there were listening devices in the phones. You had to be very careful what you told your best friend or neighbour, because you couldn't be certain they weren't part of these multiple tiers of the security services. It was quite tough writing about this. I felt that I had to get through and finish it and send it out into the world and see what happens to it.
They go to Britain and they settle there, and of course the story then shows the different kind of challenges they have to meet, specifically Romina, the daughter who comes there as a teenage girl and has to try and succeed in an educational system that she's not familiar with, even though she's a very bright girl. And the choices that she's faced with, she makes a choice that she thinks is going to make life easier for her, but has the courage to pull back on it. An arranged marriage and realise that actually wasn't going to be the pathway to making life easier for any of them. So that's a very common experience, I'm sure, for people from cultures from, you know, very strong cultures where arranged marriages are, and women are very secluded from having freedom and independence.
I think the Assyrian, well, certainly Syrians in New Zealand, they're not as closeted as you know some of the cultures you may think of. They are quite feisty women, as I think the mother in the story, Esther, you know, is quite assertive to a certain extent. But I think Romina's got the added pressure of a father who's traumatised, and it's not clear to everybody the extent of his trauma, because there is this childhood event which has given this him an added layer beyond the, you know, the encounter he had with Saddam's security services. So he's got decades of trauma to deal with, and the family are sort of, I guess, the victims of that in a way. So I wouldn't say Romina's situation is by any means typical of most young Assyrian girls now, but you know they do tend to marry within the community, and I think that they would, you know, they would have their own choice. The Iraq that I was writing about was probably the one of the previous generation, the parents' generation, where I think these arranged marriages were more common. But the women did get to have a say, you know, whether they were positive about the bloke or not. In many instances, they chose, you know, who their preferred partner would be. It's just a matter of getting the whole family to agree to it.
The book is called Run, Thomas, Run by Kate Carty, and it's published by Escalator Press.